This is Wandering in the Word, where you can listen in as the staff of First Lutheran Church in Minot, North Dakota, has a casual conversation about the scripture readings for the upcoming Sunday worship service.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Wandering in the Word for Sunday, September 19th. And we are right in the midst of all of our fall program year kickoff. So our minds are on 100 other things. So it's nice to take a moment to pause with both of you to just sort of reflect on scripture, spend some time, you know, focusing a little more on what it is that inspires all this activity within our congregation.
That is a good point. Bounce houses are important.
Of course.
Absolutely. There will be. But so scripture and God's word and coming together is definitely hopefully the goal of what we're doing, all the fun stuff. So So this weekend, the 19th, we'll be gathering for worship, and our gospel reading is from Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. And we're going to read this in two different translations this morning. I'll read our normal New Revised Standard Version, NRSV, and we'll talk about it for a minute, and then we'll have Melissa read it from our Spark Kids Bible. And when you hear the text, you'll understand maybe why we want to use kids. So here we go, Mark chapter 9. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me, or welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Oh, those disciples. Yeah. Come on, guys.
I know. I wish I couldn't relate to them so often.
I know. That's true. That is
missing the
part of the problem. We're like, yeah, that is a thing.
Very relatable. And Jesus taking a little kid and using them as an example of how to welcome each other, I mm-hmm. guess.
And like a representation of himself in some ways. So I don't know, even that is interesting to try and kind of untangle and unpack, like what about one such child, you know, is like receiving the gospel or the word of God. And how do we do that?
Yeah. Well, maybe this translation will help us.
It might. So this one they titled, "Who is the greatest? I'm the best. No, I'm the best. You are not. I am." The disciples were arguing as they walked along the road. They didn't know Jesus heard them. "Why are you arguing?" he asked them. "What are you saying?" The disciples' faces turned bright red. They looked down at the ground. No one said anything. They knew it was wrong to argue about being the best. Jesus stopped, sat down, and invited the disciples to sit down with him. He lifted a child onto his lap. "If you want to be the greatest, serve and help everyone else," Jesus told them. "This child believes in God and can serve others. It doesn't matter how big or strong or smart or fast you are. Anyone can serve and help others if he or she tries. Then you are truly great."
Mm.
The end.
The end.
So that's supposed to show us the pictures. I made it upside down.
Right. I should have used my teacher skills. But this is a podcast.
Yes. So that's our Spark Story Bible, the kids' Bible that's in all the pews in our sanctuary. That does kind of in some ways boil it down a little simpler mm-hmm. than what we've got.
I think kids will relate to that because I have some kids that live in my house. And I feel like there is always this desire to kind of order things, yes. to rank things and to say, mm-hmm. "Well, I am the fastest," or "I did this better than you did," or, you know, there's always this comparison and we don't ever grow out of that. I just feel like we sort of don't vocalize it, because we have experienced maybe some of this shame and embarrassment of doing it, even when we realize it's wrong. And kids are kind of like, whatever, this is how I'm perceiving things. And so I feel like that the kids who read this Spark Storybook Bible are going to be like, yeah,
mm-hmm. I do that. Mm-hmm. I get the disciples.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, I do. I mean, that is kind of a human nature to order things to, like, I think especially in our kind of like Western culture in particular, in our society, there's such a value placed on being better
right.
than somebody else. And apparently it was true among the disciples 2000 years ago. So in some ways things have not changed a whole lot. But this is, yeah, another example of Jesus kind of reorganizing the kingdom of God. You know, the first will be last and the last will be first. And whoever wants to be great isn't the one, you know, doing all the big things. It's the one who is being a servant of all. And that sounds good, but doesn't always jive in amongst other humans. We have to like prioritize ourselves or something.
And you're right. That is like a Western culture thing, because there are cultures in the world where you don't want to stand out. You want to blend in. You want to be part of the whole. And there's a very different sense of kind of what your goal is in life, what you're working to achieve.
Yeah. What makes me think of that reading we had in James, I think last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, when James is telling the church, you know, don't pay favoritism to everyone who comes in and is wealthy or looks good, you know, and then push the poor people out to the back or make them sit on the floor, like treat everybody equally. And Jesus, and that's kind of somewhat what Jesus is saying here. It's like, it's not, you're arguing about the wrong thing here, people. You know, it's whoever wants to be great in the kingdom of God is not the one who's, you know, rich or wealthy or, you know, doing the best. It's the least of these, you know, whoever's a servant of all is the greatest. It just twists things around. I mean, and it really makes you give pause. But then of course, you know, and I think I don't know what it would have been like 2000 years ago for Jesus to take a kid. You know, definitely in our society today, I mean, like as soon as you mentioned kids, we're like, oh,
yeah,
kids.
They're our future.
They're our future. But then there is also like the sense of like, oh, but don't bring them to this because, you know, they'll mess things up, or don't let them sit over there because they'll spill their Kool-Aid on the floor.
And they could get noisy.
You know, you can't always control them super well. They don't always do what you want them to do. So yeah, maybe like, you know, maybe welcoming the little children has a sense, rather than a sense of like peace and like, oh, it's more of like a little chaos.
Yeah, some disruption.
Disruption, you know. we don't know. I mean, it says there's a little child and put it among them, and which like you had mentioned, I think, Pastor Brandy, about like, why do we have to call the kid it?
Taking it in his arms, making like a thing instead of a human.
Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And I mean, maybe this kid was crying its head off. You know, like maybe this kid was being a ornery and causing problems. We're not told either way. It doesn't say the child was like sleeping or like peacefully smiling. It's like
cherubic. Yeah.
You know, it does kind of add an extra air of like interesting things to ponder if that kid was one of the kids playing tag and had dirt on its face and had been running around and was
sweaty
and gross and food all over it. And whoever welcomes the chaos of this and uncertainty and unpredictability of this little child welcomes me, but not just me, welcomes God.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. So, well, so we move on to our reading in James, which is a little
different vibe.
A little saucy, a little different.
We just keep making our way through the book of James. So last week we had a chunk from James chapter 3, and this week we have the verse immediately following that. And then we're skipping a bunch to chapter 4, verse 3, and then we're skipping a little more to verse 7. And then we're just reading the first half of verse 8. And it kind of makes you wonder what kind of committee put this schedule of readings together.
Yeah, they could not agree on something.
What were they thinking? So we have a somewhat strange assortment of verses here, but we'll just read it straight through and see what we can kind of pull out. So James chapter 3, verse 13, and 4, verse 3 and 7 through 8a. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It does feel like there are a few like non sequiturs in there, but
yeah.
Kind of taking those pieces, what do we hear?
I mean, like, I totally get the sentiment of like, and it says, because there's like truth in it that like when we draw near to God, God will draw near to you. Hmm. But at the same time, we also profess that like God is with us always. And so
And that God moves first. Like,
yeah, God's the actor.
This isn't something that we initiate, that God draws near to us because we say, oh, God first loved us. We, you know, respond. But this does, again, Martin Luther was not a massive fan of the book of James, just because I think some of these ideas have been inverted from the truth that he was experiencing and discovering. So we can kind of hold that tension, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of fun. We the part that they cut out of 8a, the B part is just says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Kind of harsh.
Kind of called out there.
I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's definitely harsh. But and I think there is, I mean, I think the unfortunate part of like when it, of thinking of this kind of either or, it's like either God is with you or God is not. And if you then need to take, it's like one of those, like if we're on a, across the field from each other and I take a step and then God takes a step and then I take another step and God takes, that's like not how God works. You know, we really hold that God is in all of us and present with us through all things. And if that's the case, it's kind of more like an awareness or like opening our eyes and our ears and our senses to what God is already doing.
Yeah.
It's not like trying to find hide and seek with God or
Thank goodness.
Just sitting on the other, you know, knocking the door will be answered for you. It's not like God's just waiting for us. God's already with us. It's when we allow ourselves to be open to it, allow ourselves to be aware of what God is up to, which is like, does take something on our part to be intentional about that. But, I totally recognize there's certainly times when God feels distant. I mean, absolutely. I think we all go through those kinds of times. But that doesn't mean that God isn't there. It just means that we are not perceiving what God is up to. We're not, who is wise and understanding among you?
Yeah. We should all just be like, I don't know. Seeing anyone. But a good question. I mean, who are we listening to? Who are we looking to as a source of wisdom? Who may or may not actually be that source of wisdom, and maybe it doesn't have the understanding that we kind of ascribe to them. I like the question.
Yeah. I like the show it by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. Like that's kind of in like, what is gentleness? What's wise gentleness? I don't know. That's a.
If only we could have invited James to come sit with us.
Could have been one of our guests.
More.
He'd have been like, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded.
You know, the same issues you were kind of pointing out with verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I mean, I feel like we also need to kind of explore in verse 7 where it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Yeah.
I mean, is that kind of how we would characterize that situation? And whether you want to think of the devil as like a scary demon character or as evil, sin, whatever. I feel like you can resist the devil once and it's going to be right. It's a daily thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think it's not something we accomplish like, oh, I finally resisted the devil and now I'm free and clear for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
If only.
Yeah. Well, I think of like people, you know, with our kind of more modern understanding of like addiction and things like that, you know, like it wasn't that long ago that this was used to like kind of guilt and shame people that they weren't strong enough to resist whatever.
Yeah, they just didn't try hard enough.
They didn't have a strong enough will. And obviously now we, you know, we realize, you know, so much more about how our brains work and our bodies work and that it's a disease, like it infects people, you know. And so that doesn't then, I think the danger is like, so then, okay, God isn't near you because you can't overcome, you know, we don't say that about people with cancer.
Right.
God's not with you because you can't cure yourself. But yeah, there still is. I mean, it's a good reminder that, I mean, even though we talk about God's grace and God's activity towards us and on our behalf, you know, there's still things we can be intentional about for our faith and about how we live, about how we perceive what God is up to. There's things we can do to be help ourselves be aware.
Mm-hmm. Not as a matter of salvation, but as a matter of discipleship.
Yeah.
And that is something that we are all called to grow in and, you know, kind of shape our lives around. And that's something that we like never perfectly achieve, but we're all kind of on the journey. And drawing near to God is part of that.
Yeah, with maybe like the curiosity of a child, you know, with the being the openness of a child, the different set of eyes and ears than what we have as adults, the wonderment of a child, maybe
from a place of humility or like
you
know. Sort of less than. I feel like even in ancient culture more than today, a child was sort of less than, not like subhuman. I don't think we need to go that far, but like, you know, they just didn't have a fully developed mind, you know? And so how can we sort of embody that?
Yeah. As adults, we want to be the greatest by knowing the answer and being able to solve all the problems. And a kid will just come and be like, no, why is the sky blue?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right.
You know, why this? I don't know this. You know, they don't have any shame in not understanding or knowing things. They just are.
Right. There's plenty that adults don't know.
Yeah.
There's plenty that we don't know. But if we don't go around asking questions like that or, you know, looking for who is wise and understanding among us, because we'll just kind of pretend and fake it till we make it, maybe that we're wise and understanding ourselves.
Yeah. That's very true. Very true. So. Well, any closing thoughts here, folks, for Mark or James? And
I would just like to remind you to cleanse your hand, you sinners.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Good thing to do during a pandemic.
Well, that's true.
Cleanse your hands. But it is interesting that this comes up, you know, as we're getting ready for our fall kickoff with all of our kids and the chaos of what that's going to be, the fun chaos.
Yes, I can't wait.
Kid noises and all kinds of fun stuff. And so, we look forward to welcoming our little kids in Jesus' name and learn from them as much as we can teach them, hopefully. So, all right. Well, this has been another Wandering in the Word for Sunday, September 19th. 2021. We're glad you all could join us for this and look forward to welcoming you into worship or any of our other faith formation activities we have in the coming days. We can all learn from each other and learn how we can be open to what God is up to in the world. So thanks for joining us today. For Pastor Brandy and Melissa, we will see you all next week then.